You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Monday. Welcome into week two of the season here on the Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, I am one of the hosts of the show, Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8.9 Seconds. And I am excited to talk about the Pacers-Timberwolves game coming up tonight, as well as talk a little bit about Kyle Quinn, who I really liked watching in that Nets game this weekend. I think he deserves a lot more talking about for his performance in that game. And then tomorrow, me and Adam will be back together to talk about the last three games. So that's Bucks, Nets, and Timberwolves at that time. It didn't make sense to do a week or a recap of those two games of the game coming up. We wanted to get a preview out today. So I'll do the Timberwolves today, and then we'll do that tomorrow and get back to game previews as this week goes along. But I want to start with O'Quinn talk, so let's hop right into that. So for those that don't know, which is probably very, very few of you, it's probably those of you that don't follow the Pacers as much. But anyway, Kyle O'Quinn got to play as the second unit center against the Nets on Saturday because Domantas Sabonis is out with a right knee injury, which I didn't really notice how severe that was against the Bucks until after watching it again, which hopefully he can come back soon because the Timberwolves could actually be a good matchup for him. I'll talk about that later. But O'Quinn got to play in his stead, which was great because I thought it was a good game for O'Quinn to get playing time in because I thought the Nets was a pretty inconsequential game anyway. And he's a good player, and we just don't get to see him enough, and I was excited that we get to watch Kyle O'Quinn. So before this game, he'd only played like a little over 8 minutes on the season, and they were all garbage time because the first two games, actually all three games, but really the first two games, which are the focus of his first 8 minutes, were all just complete blowouts in one way or the other. And he still looked pretty good. I mean, they lost by 17 to the Bucks, but at the end in garbage time, he was a +7. Snagging a rebound, hitting a shot, doing his normal passing thing. He was a beast. And then in the Memphis game, he was in the third unit. And Memphis is already pretty shallow, so their third unit is like not a good group. But he was awesome against them. 2-3 assists and 3 rebounds in under 4 minutes. He was great in that stead. So it's weird because O'Quinn is easily the best player who doesn't get a chance to play a lot. But there's just not a role for him outside of this exact scenario where Sabonis is hurt. So that Brooklyn game, he came in as the backup center, and he was just awesome. The way the second unit operates, and this isn't a knock on Sabonis, this isn't a praise of the Pacers, this is just what it is. The way the second unit kind of operates is like they create more from the post than the first unit because Vic's not in, and that helps Sabonis kind of get touches and assist opportunities, which is good because he's good at that. But O'Quinn is also good at similar skills to Sabonis, so they didn't have to change up their offense, and O'Quinn just got to operate in the way that suits him really well, and you could tell that he fit in perfectly. I mean, I like Sabonis is a better screener. I almost just said Sabonis. I've said his name so many times in my life, I almost just said it wrong. That was bizarre. I like Sabonis as a screener. You know, he gets his elbows wide and things like that are slightly illegal, but make a good screen. And Kyle O'Quinn's a great screener, too. He always makes contact, and he never starts rolling until after the ball handler gets around his man, which I love. He always rolls, but he always short rolls because he's a good passer and he likes to have options. And I like that about him, too. And it worked really well with Tyreek Evans. You know, he was getting some great looks at the elbow. He only ended up with one assist, but he was throwing it around nicely. And then his real thing is he ended up getting the Sabonis shots, you know, on spin moves in the post and things like that. They were giving him the long two, and he was hitting it. He finished the game 7 of 12 with 16 points. He hit both of his free throws. He's 6 for 6 from the free throw line this year, so he's never going to miss one of those, obviously. They had him duck in for rebounds the way Sabonis does, and because, you know, he's playing the Sabonis role where he's around the rim more, and because the Pacers have their center crash the glass and everyone else get back on D, he got 5 offensive rebounds. That was great. So 16-8 was his final stat line with an assist and 2 blocks, too. I mean, he was just great, and I really enjoyed watching him play. And it's, you know, Al Jefferson was good last year, too, in these plug minutes, but not good, like, positive player good. He was good, like, he can soak up these minutes and not just be like so Ike Anigbogu awful that that your team will get killed. And some games he actually was a positive. But O'Quinn is like actually good NBA player, and so he was a plus 15 in a 20-point win. Like the Nets starters were actually okay against the Pacers starters, but without Sabonis, I thought maybe there'd be some second unit closeness and this game could end up close. And then O'Quinn just came in and just firing passes everywhere and hitting long shots and protecting the rim really well. And that just changed the whole game. I mean, the Nets had no chance to come back because they were never in it when it was starters versus starters, which, I mean, that's what they wanted to do, and they never got that opportunity. So full credit for O'Quinn for having an awesome game in that Nets game. It really transformed the game and really shows why they signed him. I mean, he's the perfect injury assurance guy. He can come in when there's foul trouble for the other guys. He's carving out a role almost, and if Leaf stays injured, maybe he'll play backup four. I really doubt it, but he was really good. And if you haven't listened to it, we did season previews for every player. When we did O'Quinn, I had Thomas Dion. He works for Blake and Associates and writes in a bunch of places. He's great. He talked about how O'Quinn's strengths are in the five-on-five in particular. That sounds stupid to say. Like, when some guys are good in transition, like Lance, some guys are good in five-on-five, like when the game is going slow, and that's O'Quinn. You know, he's a good screener, he's a good rim protector, and he doesn't have to fly down the court. And the 24th in pace Indiana Pacers are the perfect place for a guy like him, and you can really see it. He's been thriving so far, so I hope that he can find a way to get some more minutes. It's not really up to him, and I don't want anyone to get hurt, so maybe I don't want him to see him play more, but he's just a joy to watch, and it was great to see him fill up the stat sheet and have a great game when they needed someone to carry the second unit. So great for the Pacers to have a guy like O'Quinn. Also in that game, because O'Quinn played so much, Ike Anigbogu got to make his season debut at the very end of the game, which is exciting. He probably won't play. I didn't think he'd get to play very much this year, just in general. But he got 3 minutes in that game, which is a tenth of how much he played last year, and was just chucking shots. He took two or three from the top of the key, didn't make either one of them, but he did have a rebound and a block, which is his thing, the blocks. So great for him to get some playing time. Now I think everyone except for Ben Moore, and now the newly signed, Devon Reed, who we haven't talked about, we'll probably talk about him a little tomorrow, have played for the team this year. It's all been fun. It's all been good. So congrats to EK for getting on the court. I wish he would have hit one of those shots just to see one fall. But I'm going to pivot from the center talk. Hopefully Sabonis can get healthy and we don't have to revisit too much of this. But it is fun to watch these guys, so maybe I would like that anyway. but I'm going to pivot from O'Quinn talk and do this quick ad, and then we'll be right back. And I want to talk about this Timberwolves game coming up tonight. What's up, guys? It's a new week here at Locked On Pacers, but it's going to be the same stuff of me talking about Vivid Seats, because Vivid Seats is super awesome. It's the best place to get tickets, I mean, like ever. I just used it again this weekend, and I want to talk about them again and why you should use them. So here's the specific experience I had with Vivid Seats that made me enjoy them so much. I went to a different ticketing site. I'll just say different, and there were a bunch of tickets scattered all over the place. Couldn't figure out how many I could get in one spot without clicking on it, and it never was the right number. I'm trying to get tickets to the Oak and Bucket game to watch my Hoosiers beat Purdue, and I have a pretty big group going, so I want to get them all together. Went to Vivid Seats. The first question that pops up is, how many people are in your group? I was like, well, there we go. That is literally perfect. Click the number, and we're off, and I spent good amount of money on Oak and Bucket seats for a big group of people. Thank goodness I had Vivid Seats to back me up here with my 100% buyer guarantee. I know they're all going to be great. Vivid Seats really is the best way to go. They have an app just called Vivid Seats. They have a website, also just vividseats.com. You have to check it out. It's the best place to buy tickets. Guaranteed, great user interface. It asks all the right questions. It's perfect. And here on Locked On Pacers, we can get you a nice deal. On an order of over $200, you can get $20 off with the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On. Go check out Vivid Seats for all your ticket buying needs. And now let's talk about the Wolves. So let's talk Wolves, and I'm going to whine as before this starts, and this is a personal whine. Lucas Seehofer was my guest for all things Timberwolves last year. He writes for a Wolf Among Wolves blog. He's very good. He's super savvy with NBA player injuries. He knows the Timberwolves in and out. The whole Wolf Among Wolves crew, that's so hard to say really fast. You know, Zach Harper, Tim Falkus, Katie Nelson, they're all very good. And I loved having Lucas as a guest. And then it turns out he deleted his Twitter, and I didn't know that. So I tried to hit him up to come on and talk Wolves this weekend, and I couldn't find him, so no guest to talk Wolves, unfortunately. I'm very sorry about that. But I will plug their blog. It's called The Wolf Among Wolves. I've said it a million times. It's at AWAW blog on Twitter. It's my favorite Timberwolves place now that Brian Sampson doesn't do their film room stuff. Anyway, the Timberwolves have had the weirdest season. And that wasn't unexpected, you know, with the Jimmy stuff before the year. I kind of think everybody thought it would be weird. But it's not been weird in the way that I thought it would be weird, because Jimmy has been great, which is so weird. 28 points a game for Butler on just 17.5 shots, 7 rebounds, too, 4 steals. Like, it's just absurd stats for this dude. He didn't play in their back-to-back because if he gets hurt, they are screwed. They need him to be healthy so they can trade him eventually. But in terms of why it's been weird for them is because they played the Spurs, who I think they're better than, and they lost. And then they played the Cavs, who they are way better than, and they were up big, and they almost blew it. It was tied in the fourth quarter, but they won. And then they played Dallas, who they're way better than, and they lost. So I don't understand how good they are. They get not the result I expect necessarily in any game. And it's just been weird. They still do this thing where they have this guy, Karl Anthony Towns, who is talked about all the time. He's a very, very good basketball player. He is hyper-efficient. His true shooting percentage is 66.1. He's super impactful on the offensive end of the floor. He's just an excellent basketball player. And his usage on the team right now is fifth. I mean, they're giving other guys way more touches than him. The whole starting five has a higher usage than he does. I just don't get why they don't give this guy the ball more. He's just so talented. And they have a lot of guys who kind of need touches, but not... He should probably be first. I mean, they should just find a way to divvy him up a little bit from everybody to get him to first, or maybe second behind Butler. That's also fine. But it makes them weirdly harder to guard to me, and that might be why they do it. I don't know. Maybe they would be harder to guard if they're a really good player at the ball more. But anyway, like, you just don't know when his possessions are coming, right? So, but pivoting this to Pacers and why I think it makes them harder to guard is because Towns operates on the perimeter a lot. He's a super great three-point shooter. Almost a third of his shots this season have been threes. Turner's going to be away from the rim this game. And Derrick Rose, for all of his flaws now as a player, just because he doesn't have the quite same lateral quickness that he did from his MVP days, he's really a downhill driver only, but with no one around the basket, if Turner does have to play away from the rim, he could be effective. Teague, as we all know, Jeff Teague from his Indy days, from Pike all the way to the Pacers, he can attack, he can also shoot, he could do a lot of stuff at an okay level. Jimmy Butler can obviously get to the rim, and Andrew Wiggins is super athletic. Who knows what kind of effort level you'll get from him any game. But so no rim protection is scary and tough. And having Towns pulling Turner away from the rim means that those guys could feast, and maybe they will deserve more usage against the Pacers, because if it's all pulled out like that, it's just going to be weird. It'll just be an odd game, but I think the counter they could do is throw Thad on him and have Turner kind of guard Wiggins almost, and have Turner just hang around under the basket, and you just let Wiggins take threes, because he's not a bad three-point shooter. I mean, he's hit a third of them this year, but he's just not a good three-point shooter either. So I think you let him chuck and just protect the rim and hope you can pull something off. That would be what I would go with. I don't think they're going to do that, but that's what I would do. But Jimmy Butler's going to be the story. He's going to play. He's going to guard Vic. It's going to be fun to watch them go back and forth. If they can limit him at all, I think they're going to win. I think I hate like reducing a game to that, but I really do think that that's what it is. If you limit Jimmy Butler, they don't go through Towns enough to really have a solid offense when they go through him. Wiggins isn't good enough. I just think if you shut down Jimmy Butler, you'll win. The game he didn't play, they lost. He did better against the Cavs in the game they won than the Spurs the game they lost. So I'm going to reduce it to that level of simplicity. And because I'm alone without Adam, I will say that the Butcher is clearly Jimmy Butler. I think he has the balance of the game, swung the most in the favor of the Wolves if he plays well. And because he's a two-way player, you know, he can actually slow down Vic, who has quietly been... I mean, it doesn't seem like Vic had 25 in that Nets game, right? Like, he's scoring a lot of... Vic's scoring really well again. So if Butler slows him down, then I think the Wolves would have a good chance. But the matchup I really do like for the Pacers is whoever Derrick Rose is guarding, which I think it's going to end up being Bojan, because I think Butler's going to guard Vic. And I love that, because Bojan doesn't do it often, but he does post up sometimes on smaller guys. They're not going to be afraid to run him off a million screens and take advantage of Derrick Rose's He's basically a colander on defense. Like, stuff just goes right through him. And I just think that's going to be a great opportunity for them to get some points. Ben Gibson at 8.9 seconds is currently writing a sweet article about how important Boyan is to the offense, and I hope it's out by the time this game starts. I'm not sure if it will be. I think he's the key to the offense. Defensively, I already talked about Turner, and then I just think he'll be the guy. How they allow Turner to be Turner is how they're going to be able to dictate this game. Also, though, just staying on Jimmy is going to be key. I think they'll put Vic on him, but I don't know. Maybe they put Boyan on him and allow Vic to have energy for offense. I'm not sure. But I think you can contain everybody but Jimmy pretty handily if you figure out a way to do Miles. But if not, Towns is going to have a nice game too. So figuring out how to contain their two total studs on offense will be a challenge for Indiana. The thing that the Pacers have done so well this year has been the bench. That's what's carried them in both of their wins. Actually, it's been pretty good in all their games, to be honest. It's interesting because I want to say, oh, yeah, like their bench is going to carry them to dominate against the Wolves because it's so much better. Like, the Wolves bench is currently like Anthony Tolliver, Taj Gibson, Gorgui Dieng, whoever they run at backup point guard. And I don't even know if they use a backup two. They just kind of throw Butler and Wiggins and switch off. Derrick Rose kind of plays the two on occasion also. The bench seems like it's not as good. It's not as talented as the Pacers, and I think that's true, but Tibbs plays his starters really high minutes. It hasn't actually been as bad this year. They're in the lower 30s, which is better for him. Like, last year they were so much higher, but they're still a big minute starter, so it's just not as much bench versus bench time for the Pacers to take over the game. And, I mean, it hurts the Wolves long-term to burn through their guys as much, but in this particular game it might help them. So I don't know if that bench difference is going to be there so much in this one, which isn't good because I think Mini's starters are just slightly better than the Pacers. They have a little bit more talent between Butler, Towns, and whatever skills you can get out of Rose, Wiggins, and Teague. So, you know, if they can do really well in those very limited bench minutes, I think the Pacers can win. But this is going to be a tough one. And I ultimately think they're going to lose. They lost to the Wolves at home last year. They beat the Wolves their first time they played, but if you recall, Jimmy Butler was out with a sickness in that game. And I think Jimmy Butler really is the Victor Oladipo kryptonite, a guy who can score really well to demand all his attention on one end and can also shut him down on the other end is extremely hard for Vic. But Vic's just almost as good as him, so maybe it'll change. But last year it didn't, so we'll have to see how that goes. It'll be very fascinating. I hope you guys enjoyed this preview of the game, though. I think it's going to be a really fun one to watch. And again, we'll be back tomorrow to talk about it and the Nets and the Bucks game, which I have many sad thoughts on that Bucks game. Ooh, boy. So get ready for that. And then we'll keep doing the week like we always do. Game preview Wednesday, I think Friday. I don't remember their schedule very well. Yes, it's just the three. So Wednesday, Friday. And then recaps for all of it. And it'll be good. We'll try to get guests on to preview other teams. If you could leave us a rating on iTunes, that would be much appreciated. Or Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. I just say iTunes because I do iTunes. That'd be much appreciated. We're on Twitter at LockedOnPacers. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great week and a great Monday. And we'll chat about this game with you guys tomorrow.